Welcome back to Chasing American History. This is David Cross, and we've been talking about Bob Dylan and American history. Unfortunately, I ran a little over, as I can sometimes do when I'm talking about Bob Dylan, and at this point, I am unable to create a podcast that's going to be over an hour, so I will get that looked at, but in the meantime, I'm just going to finish off with a part two on this podcast. I will be discussing Cross the Green Mountain, which is a more recent Bob Dylan song. So, as I say, this is just going to be a couple minutes. If you've come into this podcast and haven't heard the beginning, please turn it off. Go to part one of episode three, Bob Dylan and American History, and then you can come back and hear the end once you've heard the first part. Now, during that first part of the episode, I talked to you about Bob Dylan and how meaningful the Civil War was to him, how he talked about it being a war between two different versions of time, how he went to the New York Library and he delved into the microfilm and he looked at letters and he looked at newspapers. He wanted to understand exactly what was going on during that period, what they were fighting over, what they thought they were fighting over, whether they were like us or whether they were not like us. And I think that the song he wrote for the film Gods and Generals, it's not a good film. Boy, it's not even close to a good film, but it does have this song. It does have this song with Bob Dylan in it, so it has that going for it. But Bob Dylan's trying to understand that time, which is so different from ours. He's trying to understand that mindset where people believe so strongly in a cause that they can really accept death front on. I mean, death had to be more than simply a fear like it is in most wars. It had to feel like your next door neighbor in the Civil War. It had to feel so close. You had to have known so many people who died. And there were times when men were ordered to march into battle when they had to pretty much know they were going to die. When the great majority of the section of the army that they were in was killed, when whole families were killed, several brothers. This wasn't death as a philosophical concept. This was death as a reality. And yet, something allowed them to go forward. Something allowed them to be willing to do that. When Ulysses Grant is fighting that war, he understands that the only way to win is to fight a war where there are going to be large percentages of casualties on both sides. Mary Todd Lincoln called him a butcher, said that what he did was criminal. It can certainly still be argued that what he did was criminal. We don't argue that because we look at the circumstances of that war and most people feel that that was the only way to win that war. And then we make the judgment that it was worth it. And that, of course, you can argue about. Writes Dylan, I cross the green mountain, I sit by the stream, heaven blazing in my head, I dreamt a monstrous dream. Something came up out of the sea, swept through the land of the rich and the free. So when we begin this epic song, it says, I cross the green mountain. I think he's talking about a person in modern times sitting by this stream, and this monstrous dream that he has is, of course, the reality of his forefathers and foremothers. Cross the Green Mountain. There seems to be a feeling that the crossing the Green Mountain is somewhat, to me, it sounds like Shakespeare's Undiscovered Country, like he's talking about death there. Heaven is blazing in his or her head, and it comes to him that there is this monstrous undertow to American history, this time of slavery, this time when we had this war where brother fought against brother, where families fought against each other, where people from the same country were willing to commit brutal acts against each other. I look into the eyes of my merciful friend, and then I ask myself, is this the end? Memories linger, sad yet sweet, and I think of the souls in heaven who will meet. Alas, are burning with flames far and wide. The foe has crossed over from the other side. They tip their caps from the top of the hill. You can feel them come, more brave blood to spill. Again, we're crossing over from the other side. And you have the enemy, but rather than the enemies painted as these horrible people who are attacking, they tip their hats. These are two peoples from the same country who know they're about to conduct a horrible battle. They all know that people from both sides are going to be killed. Along the dim Atlantic line, the ravaged land lies for miles behind. The lights coming forward and the streets are broad. All must yield to the avenging God. The world is old. The world is gray. Lessons of life can't be learned in a day. I watch and I wait and I listen while I stand to the music that comes from a far better land. So you have all these biblical allusions, again, all these allusions to death, which may be a better place. It's the last day's last hour of the last happy year. I feel that the unknown world is so near. Pride will vanish and glory will rot, but virtue lives and cannot be forgot. There you have it. This is a time when people could believe that the virtue of their act, the virtue of their lives, would outlast their time, would make it worthwhile for them to commit the ultimate sacrifice. Serve God and be cheerful. Look upward beyond the darkness of masks, the surprises of dawn. In the deep green grasses of the blood-stained world, they never dreamed of surrendering. They fell where they stood. We're looking at a different kind of people. They know death in a much closer way than most of us do now. And yet, as he says it, they wouldn't even dream of surrendering. They're going to fall. Where they stand, they're going to fight till the last moment. A letter to mother came today. Gunshot wound to the breast is what it did say. But he'll be better soon. He's in a hospital bed. But he'll never be better. He's already dead. I'm 10 miles outside the city and I'm lifted away in an ancient light that is not of day. They were calm. They were blunt. We knew them all too well. We loved each other more than ever we dared to tell. This is the way Bob Dylan looks at the Civil War, as a time where people were of a different breed and of a time where people were going to commit this act even in the face of almost certain death. And it's a somber song. It has a lot of allusions to the Bible. It borrows heavily from other sources. Borrows from Yeats. Borrows from Nathaniel Graham Shepherd. The song could be seen as a very romantic portrayal of war. One can see as a celebration of these virtues which allowed people to fight and to die. I don't think it is. I think Bob Dylan's still the same person who wrote John Brown, who wrote about how these myths and fantasies about fighting war really for the people who aren't there fighting, and that, you know, John Brown is a song he wrote back in, I think, around 1959. It's about a man who goes off and gets shot up, and the end of the song is he drops the medals that he wins into his mother's hand so that his mother can be happy. His mother's very proud that he goes off to fight. What Bob is doing here, though, is looking at the mindset that did pervade, much like a historian would do. I don't think you could say that he's celebrating this. I don't think you could say that he's saying that war was a better thing back then, that it was virtuous to die. I think he's really trying to get into the minds of these people. And you have to realize that there's a reason that Abraham Lincoln, who refused to discuss slavery at the beginning of the war, denied that the war was a war on slavery, was going to make a change. Well, why? That's my dog Chip back there, if you're interested. Why did Abraham Lincoln make that change, make it a war about slavery? Well, he needed to provide a reason worth dying for. Union isn't quite enough. It's not quite enough for these many people to die. Now, we're going to see, as we discuss George Washington and the Revolutionary War, that one of the big problems the British had in this war was the problem people always have in a guerrilla war, is a problem invading armies almost always have, which is that they care a lot less than the other side. Abraham Lincoln needed to make the Northerners care enough so that they'd be willing to run up those hills, be willing to make the sacrifices. You know, the interesting thing about this song is we don't know which side this soldier's on. It could be either side. It's not relevant. Abraham Lincoln's going to provide a context and going to provide a purpose. You know, he's one of our favorite presidents because, well, to me, what I love about him is that he's a tremendous writer. There's not a lot of presidents who Bob Dylan's going to steal from. Jefferson and Lincoln are probably the only two. And it's going to take a novelist to come up with an explanation for fighting this war. He needs to get inside people's bones, get inside people's head and heart, and convince them that this is worthy. This is a worthy sacrifice of their life. And he's able to do that when he says what's probably actually true, that this is a war about slavery, and that by dying, you are freeing people you don't know. Kind of a glorious thing. Now, there are going to be others who say, well, that's not what it was about. And and history is an argument without end. Bob's not trying to enter into an ideological discussion, you know, back to him describing him listening to these arguments. He's listening to this stuff. He wants to feel. He wants to feel what these people felt. He wants to understand these people from a human perspective. And of course, to many of these people, yeah, that's why they were dying. That's why they were fighting, was to free the slaves. So there you have it. That's our celebration of Bob Dylan on Bob Dylan's birthday. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll go back and listen to some of these songs and think about them and think about some of the issues that Bob Dylan brings up. In the meantime, we're going to be going back on episode 4 to discussing George Washington and the French Indian War. So I look forward to seeing you then. And as Bob Dylan once said, I'm going, I'm gone.